Welcome everyone to Nox Game Design for August 2026. My name is Levi Smith. So this month we're going to be talking about the Atari 2600. This is a system that I never had when I was a kid. Always been familiar with it, but when the Atari came out, I was probably about 3 years old, so never had a lot of experience, but something I've always wanted to look at, and never made any programs for the Atari 2600, so this month gave me an opportunity to learn how to make programs for the Atari 2600. So just a little bit of background, the processor for the Atari 2600, I was surprised to find out it's actually 6502 based, just like the NES. It's actually the 6507, so it's slightly different from the 6502. The assembler that I used is called DASM by Matt Dillon in 1988. There are a few emulators out there for the Atari 2600. One is called Stella. Another one, Z26, that's the one that I used for developing the programs for Atari 2600. One thing I found out about the Z26 is that it expects the game files to be on the same drive as the home directory, or you can specify the game file on the command line. If you have to switch drives, it's not able to do that. Also, you can install these with RetroArch if you have RetroArch on your system. So here's actually a picture of what the 6507 looks like. A lot like the 6502, this one in the middle. I guess it's kind of upside down where you can't read it, but you can see R6507-15. That's what it looks like right there. Here's the DASM, 8-bit macro assembler. Their website, DASM-assembler.github.io. And here is the Stella emulator. It's stella-emu.github.io. There's also some documentation for Stella. They have a mailing list on biglist.com. And also, you can actually get the white paper, which you can see is like created in 1979 by Steve Wright. So a lot of good information on this. I'm not going to say I read all this. I kind of just learned how to make a program using some examples. But this is a good reference, Stella Programmer's Guide. And here's the Z26 emulator. It's at whimsy.com/Z26. Another good site is the Atari 2600 assembler. If you want to learn how to assemble something directly online without downloading the compiler. I didn't play with this too much, but did give it a quick try. But you can see, like, you got all the opcodes right here that you can write right into the browser, which I thought that was pretty cool. So yeah, when I started looking at some example code, I started looking at the opcodes and I was like, wow, these are very familiar. I got my loads, my increments, my stores, and I got the three registers that I'm familiar with from 6502 with the NES, the X register, the Y register, and the accumulator. So all that looked familiar. So that was a surprise. I didn't know. I never really thought about it, but never really knew that it used basically the same processor. Now, the NES processor was a slight derivation from the 6502 as well. But yeah, all the opcodes are all the same, which is pretty cool. There are some differences from the NES 6502. Not all 6502 assemblers are the same, so you can't use these assemblers interchangeably. With this assembler that I'm using, you do have to include some header files, macro.h and vcs.h. There's some symbols in there, like start a frame, vblank, call, ublank, color blank, and wsync. There's also some keywords that are kind of helpful, repeat and repend. I think those kind of create loops in your program, so that's kind of helpful, something I never, with the NES, I had to actually implement those in opcodes, so that's kind of helpful. And also with the Atari, you have a TIA, a television interface adapter, registers for that. The resolution for the Atari for NTSC is 160 by 192, where on the NES we had 256 by 240. And as I mentioned, the graphics for the Atari has the TIA, where I think the equivalent on the NES is the PPU. So it's kind of similar concepts, but different. Yeah, so this is basically how you compile for the Atari. I'm using MCS2. Just use DASM as the assembler, and -i for the path to the header files, and you use -o for the output file. I recommend by default it creates .bin files. I recommend changing that to .a26. Most emulators expect Atari ROMs to be have the A26 extension. Here, otherwise some emulators won't recognize it. This is how you compile the ASM, pass in. Usually I use .asm as the extension for the assembler, assembly source file. And here's our -i with the path to, you got to link in this Win64 machines, Atari i2600. And it's got this output test.txt file. And then finally our output file over here. So yeah, I didn't mention it on the slides, but there is a good site out there. So on Atari Age, good community of Atari developers out there. So on the NES, we had the Nerdy Knights tutorial series. So this is, I think of this as the Nerdy Knights for Atari. But yeah, this guy, he went through Kisrael back in 2003. Basically, step by step, went through all the basics of the Atari 2600, the TIA, and the 6502 or 6507. I think they use 6502 and 6507 interchangeably. All about the TV timing. I'm not going to get into all this, and I'm not going to say I read all this. So, I did check out this timing diagram. It's good stuff to know right here about how it draws to the screen and the timing, how to draw colors. So there's basically two different ways to draw to the screen. There's the play field, and then there's the sprite graphics. So the play field is kind of like the background, and the sprites are the things that move around. So all examples I'll be doing is just use for this talk today, we'll be using the play field and not the sprite graphics. So that's basically the first step, is just to make sure that you can get a file, an assembly file, to compile and display to the screen. So actually what I did in my MCS2 here, I got my, and I'll put all these assembly files. I think it's actually already out in the source code repository. I'll have that linked on noxgamedesign.org. But as you can see here in the SRC directory, I have Atari 00, 01, and 02. So there's Atari 00. Let's do a VI and Atari 00. So yeah, this is basically the demo from the Atari Age website. I take no credit for this. Appreciate the developers who came up with this. So what I did is I have a make file, which hopefully this will be helpful for people out there. But you basically just like type make all, and it will build all these all the assemblies. So this does all the compiling for you. You just got to set your DSAM path right there, and your Z26, that's your emulator. And this actually has all the compile commands in here for you. You can actually change these if you want to add additional files, additional assembly files to compile. And you can do make clean to delete all the files. So by default, it's going to put everything in the out folder right here. So there's currently nothing in that. So you can just type make, and it's going to build all the assembly files for you. So it does all three. If you do modify one, run make again, then it'll detect the change and recompile it. But yeah, this is basically what the assembler looks like right here. If you had any errors, then it would let you know right here, but we didn't have any errors, so everything looks good. So I actually have a command in the make file. I have make run 00, make run 01, run 02. So you can type make, that will run the Z26 emulator for you and use the output file. So yeah, when I ran that make command, go CD out. So here's all my Atari ROM files that were created from the source code for each of the demos, Atari 00.A26, 01.A26, and A02.A26, and also creates these text files. I'm not sure if there's anything, how interesting those text files are. There's a lot of debug information in here, so if you really want to get into it, you can look at these text files. May or may not have some useful information, but yeah, I can just type make and run 00, and this runs in the Z26 emulator. That first demo from the Atari Age website, basically these different color bands on the screen just display, showing how to display something to the screen. Yeah, so that was the first step. Verifying creating Atari 6 ROM file, start with assembly. So session 8, our first kernel. So that's kind of like the first post where you actually start to build something, verify that it runs. This is another tutorial I didn't mention earlier. It's on VB Forums. I'll have this one linked. So this is another good reference for starting out. But yeah, here's session 8 right here. This talks about all the timing. You have to have like all these WSync, 3 scan lines of VSync, and then 37 lines of vertical blank. And then you have 192 lines of our actual picture. And then there's 30 scan lines of overscan. So that's what all these store while we're storing WSync into our accumulator. So yeah, this is what it looks like right here. So that we got the demo to run successfully. So this is kind of how I learn. I don't learn really by reading or learn a little bit by watching videos, but I learn by taking an example and modifying it and getting it to do something slightly different. So I was like, okay, we know how to draw bars to the screen. So, hey, what can I do? Oh, I can actually write letters in Morse code. So I had this example that displays these bars based on a binary code for a byte and display different lines. So I was like, hey, I can take that and actually do basically dots and dashes, but they kind of fill the whole screen. So I can spell out Knox in Morse code. So I'm using the symmetric playfield drawing method. Left playfield side is copied or mirrored to the right side. That's why you see two. And I did a little bit of research, and basically the Atari was created to make Pong. So they wanted everything symmetric from the left side and the right side. So that's why you got this symmetric playfield drawing method. There are other ways to draw to the screen to make more complex playfields. There are 3 playfield data registers that you write to, PF0, PF1, PF2, and the playfield color is set up in call UPF. So let's take a look at Atari 01 ASM. Go back up to the top right here. So I created all these patterns. So got the pattern for a K, 81, 81. Pattern 2 is stored at 82. These are all hexadecimals. Then I got the pattern 2 bytes for the N, 2 bytes for the O, and 2 bytes for the X. Then we got the time to change the letter every 2 seconds. Hexadecimal 78 is 2 seconds. So here's, we're clearing the registers, getting everything set up. Pattern 2. So yeah, the way it draws to the screen, like the first byte is backwards in bit order, then the next byte is in order, then the third byte is like in reverse order. I'll talk about that in a minute. But it isn't really straightforward. So yeah, a K is a dash dot dash, so that's what this binary sequence right here is. So a dash is 111, then 0 for a space, a dot, a dit. I say dash and dot, but it's also dits and dots, I think. So a space and then a dot for just one. And then the last one is 3-1. So here's where it flips backwards. So the last two bits and the first, let's see here. Yeah. The last two bits of this one, then it's followed by the last bit. And this byte is backwards right here. So here's where we start going from the right to the left. So here's the end. It's a dash and a dot. So thankfully we don't need two bytes for this one. So you've got 1, 1, 1. Then 0 for a space, then a 1, then the rest are all zeros. Here's the O, dash, dash, dash. So we got 1, 1, 1, 0 for a space, 1, 1, 1, 0 for a space. Then we go from right to left, 1, 1, 1, and then the rest are zeros. And here's the X, which is dash, dot, dot, dash. So we got 1, 1, 1, 0, 1, 0, 1, 0. Then we go backwards, 1, 1, 1, then the rest zeros. So yeah, we've got our pattern index. That's basically which letter we're displaying. Setting the color to red initially. Here's our frame start right here. And like I said, this was a demo file and I modified it to display the Knox and Morse code. So I didn't write, a lot of this was like boilerplate existing template code that I used. So I didn't write this right here, but I did modify this. So when it's 0, it draws a K in Morse code. When it's 1, it draws an N. When it's 2, it draws an O. And when it's 3, it draws an X in Morse code. So yeah, here's all the drawing code. And then here's we're changing colors. So I got a draw O, K-N-O-X. Here's draw K. We're going to set the color to red. Then when we're done, we're going to jump down to draw done. Got draw N. Set the color to green. Store the patterns in PF1 and PF2. Same for the O. Same for each letter. We're going to load the pattern. Store it in PF1. Load the second byte of the pattern. Store it in PF2, then change the color. So in the case of O, it's going to be blue. Then we're going to jump down to draw done. So draw done is just basically right here at the end. So we do K-N-O-X for Knox. Here's more template code. I'm not going to say I can fully explain what all's going on here. But it's doing the drawing to the screen, cleaning and finishing everything up right here and jumping to the start of the frame. Okay, so like I said, we already compiled it with our make, so nothing to be done. So I'm just going to run make run 01. So here it is. That's K-N-O-X. Then it just repeats. So like, hey, okay, I was able to take an assembly file and modify it to display my custom message in Morse code. Our Knox message right there. So I was like, okay, that's great. Well, bars displaying to the screen. Can I actually make it look like our Latin characters? So that was the next step right here. So to display it with Latin characters, we got to use the asymmetric playfield. If we just want to display it once, otherwise it's going to be mirrored. So I wrote a helper script called, I called it pf_gen.py. I use Python. Seems like everybody's doing Python these days, so I give in. I'll do Python. So we're going to generate a playfield that's going to display Knox. So you can already see it on the screen right here. That's what it's going to look like. So we've got 192 total horizontal lines. So we're only displaying, I think I called it strips. You got like five or six strips on the screen. So this is strip one. Strip zero is actually on the left side. So this is strip one. So this is one byte of PF data right here. So here's my script. I'm not going to open it up, but it's here on the slide right here. So basically I have Knox.txt. So you can see it over here. It's just a text file with K-N-O-X spelled out. And so it's going to loop through each one of these And then if it's got a pound sign, then it's going to generate, it's going to fill in that bit in that location. But yeah, and this is just for one byte. So we got bits 1 through 8. So yeah, it's going to replace all those pound signs with ones and the spaces with zeros. Going to add the appropriate number justification, add additional zeros if required to fill in the byte. Yeah, so then it just loops straight through all these. So I did add this little thing right here where we do mod 3, because so for each character in our text file, it's going to do 3 lines worth of blocks. Because if I don't, it's going to be really smished up at the top. So doing the mod 3 spaces that out a lot more evenly right here. Yeah, so we're repeating everything 3 times. So let's take a look at it. Like I said, VI source Atari 02, Atari 02 ASM. This is what it looks like right here. So I guess the only thing to really, we're setting the color to blue right there. The thing to watch out for in this one, so we got our strips right here, the 5 or 6 strips. We've got strip 0, strip 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We're writing all those to the screen, and it does those tricks, which I'm not going to try to explain. You can read the Atari Age Forum to further understand how to draw to the asymmetric playfield. But yeah, the important thing right here is this. We're going to include SRC Atari 02 Knox.asm right there. So we can look at source Atari 02 Knox.asm. So this is all the bytes for the data. So you can see in this strip 0, so I'm set number. So you can see a lot of bytes in here. But then when we get to the first strip, you start seeing these are the ones and zeros to draw the K and the N and the O and the X right there. That's what all that is. So yeah, it'd be kind of impossible to edit this by hand right here. That's why I had to write that helper function. I believe I put it in here. Source Atari 02. Yeah, so it's in PFGen right there. And there it is right there. So there's my Knox.txt right there. Okay, it ignores this first line. I just use this as like a header showing the positions. But yeah, there's KNOX right there. Then here's my pfgen.py. This is the code that I showed on the slide. And then I even made a run.sh. So you run python pfgen.py. Put that to knox.asm. Copy that up to the parent folder. And that's what creates the knox.asm with all the data. So it takes a text file and converts it into the bits and bytes, the bytes needed to display it to the screen. So as I said earlier, all of the code was compiled when we ran our make file and lsla out. So there's our Atari 02.a26. So I'm just going to run make run 02. And there it is. So I did add some additional debug at the bottom, but there's our Knox running on an Atari emulator. So after the X below it, I just added like a byte of all ones, which is 255. And then I had a byte of just the last one, which is 1 in decimal. Yeah, 255. And so all ones in binary in decimal is 255. The last one in decimal is just 1. only the first one and all the rest zeros is 128. And then the next line is 10101010, which I can't remember what that is off the top of my head. Then the final line is 01010101. So yeah, just pretty bug right there. Yeah, so this is kind of how I made this slide, just to kind of explain the strips a little bit better. So there's five, or oops, that should be six. It's zero through five, but six total strips. So the zero is the first four bits in reverse order. So if you print those characters on each strip, then you get half of a backwards K, half of a backwards N. Strip one is all eight bits in order. So that displays our NOX the way we expect it. Then strip two is all eight bits in reverse order. Then strip three is the first four bits in reverse order. Strip four is all eight bits in order. And strip five is all eight bits in reverse bit order. So I'm basically using the same bytes, but you can change these byte values for each of the strips. So you can make any kind of picture that you want, really, which is kind of cool. You just got to watch out and make sure you either got your bits in the correct order and which bits you're using right there. So yeah, this is kind of what I was explaining earlier with all ones with 255, one with one, one followed by all zeros is 128. So 10101010 is 170, and 01010101 is 85. So that was it for the demo. So I got one more thing to show off. Switch the camera here. Guess I'll move this out of the way a little bit. So I don't have an original Atari. Never had an Atari. I might get one day. I don't know. So I have an Atari Game Station Go upside down, which is really cool. So I'm going to turn it on right here. Oops, right here. Yeah, so there's the Game Station Go. I really like it. Comes with not all the Atari games, which is kind of disappointing, but it has quite a few good games on here. But the thing that I like is that on the top, you can put in like a micro USB in one of these. Yeah, right there. Right there you can put in micro USB. So when it comes up, it's going to say micro SD card mounted. So yeah, we want to say micro SD card and press A. Yeah. So yeah, that shows all the systems that are on here. So I want to go down to Atari 2600 right there. And it's pretty hard to see, but there's our three demo files. So there's Atari 00 right there. And that's the color demo. That's the first one right there. You can see all the different color lines. So then we're going to press the home button. Go back. Now we're going to pick Atari 01. Press the A button. So there's our KNOX in Morse code right there. KNOX. And we're going to press the home button, go back. Now we're going to pick Atari 02. I don't know why they had that one at the top, but it's at the top for whatever reason. Maybe I misspelled it. So yeah, there's our KNOX right there with the debug at the bottom. So yeah, it isn't original Atari hardware, but it is, as you can see, Atari licensed. So I think it's as close as I'm going to get. Unless I get an actual Atari. And then even if I had an Atari, I don't know if they have like a way to put your own custom ROMs on an original Atari. I don't know if that exists or not. But anyway, that's my kind of introduction for a month of learning how to program an Atari. It really isn't a game, but I was happy I was able to get something compiled and running on an emulator and on hardware. So appreciate everyone out there. I hope everyone found this interesting and helpful, and I'll plan on being back in a month.